Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of It's Not All Rainbows. I'm your host, Lindsay Goodman. I'm a certified trauma recovery coach, and I'm also a survivor of abuse in a queer relationship. I'm here to help you figure out what's really going on in your relationship, to help get you out and on the road to recovery. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how we don't really know our abusers. Okay? I know. We're going to dive into that. Before we do, I will talk about my struggles and successes. This week, a struggle is, man, that flare-up I'm having. I've talked about it the last couple weeks, but that physical, like the physical issues that I've been having are still lingering. And it does this whole thing where I know a lot of you probably also are struggling with like chronic illness, autoimmune issues, and things like that. After abuse, it can be very common, which I talked about several weeks ago in my The Serious Physical Issues episode, I believe it's called, but we tend to have these kinds of things. And what can happen is whichever way it goes, because our bodies and brains, I mean, our brains are in our body, right? But like either you're having some physical issues and then your brain starts to topple, or you're having some mental health problems, maybe some struggles, and then your physical health starts to topple. And I can't really pinpoint which it is, but it's just like they're just trying to like we're in this together, but we're also just not. So it's been rough. A success is that I booked our summer travel. I booked our tickets for our summer travel. I started to book our lodging, and I booked a little solo trip for myself before that because my son's going with his dad for a wedding. So I'm really excited for that. I haven't really been able to travel. I'm very aware of the privilege that I have to travel in general. Like I get to visit my family sometimes. I get to go on these trips. I work really hard to be able to go on these trips and to share with you all about what I am able to do and stuff like that. But it's been kind of a rough season for me. So I'm very excited to have that on the books. I still have to do some work to be able to make it swing financially, but I'm just excited to like know that it's happening and have that to look forward to. So, okay, let's talk about whether or not we actually know our abusers. Because sometimes, I mean, I don't really talk about my abuser anymore, but for a while, and I think that this as a topic really came through to me when I was recording either last week's episode or the one before it, and I was talking and I was like, yeah, you know, my abuser liked or didn't like this, because I was talking about how they can change to be just like you when they're mirroring you in the beginning. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if they like this or not. I don't know if they like skiing or not. I don't know if they like yoga or not. I don't know if they like this kind of music or not. I don't know. And obviously, I haven't spoken to that person in over 2 years. I don't know anything about them or what they're doing with their life right now. I don't need to know. I don't care. But what I'm saying is that, like, so when you're living with an abusive person, or when you're just leaving and maybe you're still processing things with a therapist or with a trusted friend or with a family member, these things do come up. Like, oh, I remember when we used to go out on dates, like, say we went mini golfing once a month, and we would go and do this thing, and like, it was our thing. Like, do they really like mini golfing? I don't know. We don't know. And the thing that I was talking about in that episode that really sparked me was that when abusive people tend to have very low self-esteem, even though it may come off as someone who's so like haughty and confident, and like they know what they want, and they're always just out to get what they want, and they have these huge egos, or so it seems. But really deep down, I would say most abusive people are teeny tiny little nuggets of the human being that are very well protected in these like massive fortress castles with like drawbridge, moat, portcullis, you know, towers with like archers ready to go. Like they're very well protected, which is what the abuse really is them protecting themselves. And no, that's not an excuse for you to feel sorry for them. And well, you can have pity for them, but like to stay with them because you're like, oh my gosh, they're just, it's just self-defense. They're just protecting themselves. Yes, it is. And also they should not be harming other people because of that. Cause guess what? I also have a castle. I'm also hurting, but I'm not going to abuse people because of that. So that said, with them being these little tiny people, a lot of times they don't really have a sense of self. So they spend their lives trying to figure out who they are, but trying to be like other people. They mirror a lot of people. Maybe it's a best friend when they're younger. I've heard when I used to listen to narcissists talk about why they do things, because that was really helpful for me when I was first healing, because I followed a diagnosed narcissist who thinks very similarly to my abuser. I don't anymore. I know that that can be very controversial. A lot of people don't feel comfortable getting information from them, which I totally understand. But I totally forgot what I was going to say. I went off topic, like, yeah, I used to listen to this. Oh, that they would mirror their sibling. They didn't have a sense of self, so they would mirror their sibling. So they can mirror a friend, they can mirror a sibling, they can mirror a love interest, they can mirror someone that they like on the television, they can mirror a parent, or they can mirror a lot of people. And the example I gave in that episode was like a ball of Play-Doh. So I was thinking, like, I'm a very visual person, and I was thinking about, like, at my one of my best friend's weddings in Mexico, they had these little balls of Play-Doh, and we all held in a circle, and we like kneaded the dough in our hands and like put a good wish into our hands and stuff like that. And then they went around and collected all of it, and they put all these different colors of Play-Doh all together into one ball and mixed it up. So it was like, look at us all coming together for this couple, and look, when we all come together, this is what we make. And it's just like this ball of Play-Doh, which was a beautiful concept at the time. It still is. But when it comes to an abusive person, that's kind of what I thought, is like, I'll take this yellow ball of Play-Doh, I'm gonna be like Lindsay. Well, now I'm dating Janessa, so I'm gonna take this orange ball of Play-Doh, and that friend that I was really obsessed with in high school, Jackie, I'm gonna take her ball of Play-Doh, and I'm gonna take his ball of Play-Doh, and I'm gonna take my sister's, my brother's ball of Play-Doh. And so they're just this like hodgepodge of influences from other people, taking interest, taking like trying to create this sense of self and this personality and this identity, but they don't actually have that. So, and again, I'm not an abusive person, and I'm not a therapist that works with people with personality disorders and does all this stuff. I'm just talking about what I've seen, what I've experienced myself, what I've seen, other people talking about in terms of being an abusive person, or other therapists who actually have worked with other people like this, and sharing with you what I know. That's not to discount what I do know, because I do know a lot, and that's why I share it. But again, I don't want you to take what I'm saying and be like, well, she said, because abusive people are different, right? So anyway, quite often we'll see something like that, where you have this hodgepodge of a human being who is just taking little bits and pieces of what they like from other people, or maybe it's a book they read and they're like, I like how this person was kind of mysterious, or I like how on this movie this person dressed like this, so I'm gonna be this, I'm gonna be that. And we all get influenced by things, by social media, by books and magazines and TV, and like that girl we saw at the mall or whatever that had a really cool style, and I was like, I kind of want to dress like that. Or like me, when I travel, I dress completely different when I'm in the United States and I'm just like home in like whatever mode. And then when I go to Spain or Mexico, like I feel free, I feel happy, I feel more available to trying new things, and I will dress completely different. Like if you look at pictures of me when I'm traveling versus when I'm at home, and then I come home and those clothes feel really off when I'm here, it's weird. So that's not to say that if you were influenced by something that you're abusive or you're just a ball of Play-Doh. It's normal for us to like try new things. I have tried new things, and some things have really worked for me. Sometimes I try something new and I'm like, I actually don't like this. I thought I was gonna wear, like right now I'm wearing a cardigan, which I do a lot for work. I was like, I thought I was gonna be a cardigan person, and I bought 20 cardigans. It's kind of excessive. I bought 5 cardigans. Now come to find out, that's not my style. I'm more of a flannel girl or whatever. So totally normal. But when you have this person who, again, isn't really taking any time to be like introspective and be like, do I really like this, or am I like this because I'm noticing this is the new style now. Like, I'll give an example, like skinny jeans. I'm kind of getting off topic with like the abusers, but skinny jeans, my generation, like, we just love skinny jeans. And that's like, apparently that's been out of style for a while, and you see people on social media like, skinny jeans are out, millennials look so old, you need to wear this kind of jeans. And some millennials switch to like the baggy jeans and they look great. I did that for a while. I feel like a child when I wear them. I'm just like swimming around in them. I'm also like very short, although I've seen really short people, rock it. But I did that for a little while, and I was like, okay, I tried. I don't really like it. I'm kind of going back to skinny jeans. I'm almost 40. I'm a couple years away from 40. So I'm like, I'm just gonna wear skinnier jeans and try to feel more comfortable in like how I'm doing this. Who knows? When I travel, I might go back to the baggy pants again, because it just depends how I feel when I'm there, whatever. But yeah, that kind of thing, I don't, man, I'm really distracted today, but like that happens and that's normal. But okay, I guess my point was like me being able to go, you know what, do I really like this? Or am I just doing this because everyone's saying that it's out of style and I don't want to look like a weirdo when I'm walking around in my skinny jeans that I've been wearing for the last 12 years or whatever? So having that, what is making me feel this way? What is making me all of a sudden want to try this new thing that I've never really thought about before? Like, is that, do I really want that? Or is it just because I have some pressure? Because like that's what my best friend likes to do. So I kind of want to like do that too. But I don't know. Like we have this like reflection and introspection that we do and process things, right? Maybe not all the time. Maybe it takes a while to figure it out. But the abusive person's probably not doing that. They're not like, do I really like this kind of music? Do I this? Do I that? They're just like, that person likes it. I like it too. If I'm trying to date that person and they like all these things, all of a sudden that's my identity. I'm gonna take it on until I'm gonna switch to the devaluation that I don't like any of that stuff anymore. And when you ask me to try to go on that same kind of dates and do the same kind of things we did when we first started hanging out, I'm gonna make you feel crazy because I never liked those things. It's not really me. I don't like it. Blah blah blah. And so it can be really confusing because when you think you know someone, when you meet them, obviously we've talked about that they were masking, that they were love bombing you, that they're trying to convince you that it's this perfect connection, that it's fate, that you guys are so well matched, that you like the same things. That's not real. And so you don't know that person. Like a lot of times we look back in those early times and we kind of cling on to that idea of who they were portraying themselves as, which makes it very hard to let go of them. And it makes it very hard like after you leave because you're still looking back on those quote unquote good times in the beginning. But that person wasn't real. They were matching you and your life, and maybe they're still that mixed up ball of Play-Doh, hodgepodge, whatever from the people that they quote unquote dated before you. And so that's not really who they are. Then, whatever, like throughout the relationship, say it's 5 years, say it's 10 years, say it's 2.5 years, you might notice that they were doing a lot of changing. And I'm not talking about changing and growth, because like I said, I do a lot of changing and growth and exploration and trial and error, and that's a normal part of being a human, but just it's more like I picture like a toddler doing a puzzle, and it's like there's three spots, and it's like a cer I'm not even a puzzle. A shape matching game where a 9-month-old put the ball in the circle, put the square in the square, put the triangle in the triangle, but they're trying to, sh they're like, that's who I am now. And it's like, it's not. So they're just constantly trying to shove a shape in a hole and it's not the right. So they're just like clunking around through life. It's not human growth, normal, healthy trial and error like I'm talking about. And I know you might be confused and you're like, but how do I know the difference? I know. We can talk about that more if you want to. I can do a whole episode of like, how do I know the difference between like normal, healthy trial and error? Like I've done a lot of trial and error. I've done a lot of learning the hard way. I've done a lot of like one step forward, 100 steps back. That's part of being a human. This is something else. This is a person who doesn't want to look inward, doesn't want to know who they are. It's very scary for them, and it can be scary for us too, and I understand that. But, and sometimes we put it on a shelf and we do it later. We're like, I'm not in a place to be able to actually dig through what's actually in here. And sometimes we do. We're like, ah, this is really scary, but I'm gonna do it anyway. These people don't want to know. They do not want to know what's hiding underneath the rug that they've been sweeping all their nasty trauma from childhood under forever. They don't want to change. They don't want to grow. They don't want to actually figure out who they are because they're just plowing through life looking for someone to. I'm just gonna say it. People will argue about different things, whatever, but someone or someones or something to get power and control from, to get that high of being able to control someone. To get that high of having people view you as something that you actually are not, to have people think that you're this really awesome person, that you're really helpful, that maybe like you get the forget what it's called. It's been so long since I've like talked about this. I really have taken a break from talking about this. I think it's like a communal narcissist, which I don't use the word narcissist very often anymore for multiple reasons, but the communal narcissist is like someone who's in the community who ostensibly is giving back, is doing these nice things. Maybe they're donating money, they're volunteering their time, or they're in a position of like looking good, looking really like a caring, good person, but really they're not. So they get a lot of joy, they get a lot of whatever from, I don't even want to call it joy. They get a sense of empowerment or whatever from being seen that way. Excuse me. And so that's what that is. Two very different things. So the point of all of this, and I know I do a lot of twists and turns when I talk, is just to remind you that you don't know this person. This person who abused you, this person you lived with for 5 years or whatever, or your sibling or your parent, you don't know them because they don't know them. If you don't know yourself, if you're constantly floating through life, just matching with, trying to match with, and then abuse and control and mess with people throughout your entire life, you don't know who you are. You have never taken the time to look inward. You don't know what you're like. You're trying to be this little Play-Doh ball and like be like, hopefully nobody notices that I'm a Play-Doh ball. Hopefully people actually think that I'm an avid reader and I'm really smart and I'm really intellectual and I like to do all these like deep conversations and I like to travel and I like to like blah, blah. People are gonna look at me and they're gonna think all this stuff. And I hope that nobody starts to see inside the cracks and realize that I don't like to travel. I've never traveled, or I only traveled. I'm just making this up. I only traveled one time, but I like to make it into like this whole huge thing, and it's like my identity, and it helped form me into who I am. Really, it's not my thing. I just heard other people talking about it. I don't actually read. I just skim through books because my brain's always doing other things. But I like want other people to think I'm really intellectual, and I'm always learning and growing and blah blah blah. So I'm just gonna always have a book or talk about books. I'm gonna act like I understand these things when I really don't. I'm gonna act like whatever, right? They don't want people to see through the cracks of that. They do not want people to know that they are a ball of Play-Doh. So again, keep that in mind when you're grieving for someone. Obviously, you're still gonna grieve. You're gonna grieve for what who you thought they were, the potential that you thought you saw in them, what you thought that you were dedicating your life and your time to. You thought that you were investing in this person in this relationship. You're gonna grieve all of those things. It's very difficult. It's very complicated. That's knowing that you don't know that person isn't going to take away from that. You're still going to feel very complicated emotions for probably a long time. But it may help you to know that that person wasn't real, that it was a made-up thing. And you probably do know that to some extent, but just knowing that, again, you don't know that person. You don't know their likes and dislikes. You might know like some of their habits around the house. I could definitely tell you how my abuser would and wouldn't do things around the house because I lived with them for 2.5 years. But I don't know one thing that that person, again, doesn't matter, likes, dislikes, whatever. So if you ask me, like, oh, I don't know why you would, did your abuser like to do this? I don't know. And I don't think that they know. I don't think that your abuser actually knows who they are, what they like or don't like. So keep that in mind when you're grieving. Just remember that, I guess, one way that I like to look at it, I'm looking at my roommates. She's really into fiction, like chick lit, like romance stuff. I'm not, my whole shelf is like British history and Spanish history and like the history of Mexico City and the history of this group of people. Like there's a Cleopatra book right there that I'm getting ready to dive into, and hers is fiction. And so I'm thinking, like, think of your favorite chick flick. I don't even, is that what they're called? Chick flick or like chick lit romance. I don't know if people still say that, but like your romance book, and think about the character, the whatever gender person that comes along, and like this person falls in love with that person. That person is a made-up character that somebody wrote into existence. They thought, who do I want this person to be? What are their attributes? How do they act around other people? What are their quote-unquote flaws? Like, how are they hurting the person that they're going to start dating in this book? But then they go back and they figure out that they want to get through this with that person, blah blah blah. Yes, I've seen like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I know how these go, even though I don't read these things. That's how it is. They're like a made-up character in a book. And you can still, like, I know a lot of times if you're like an avid reader, and if you're not, I'm sorry, but if you're an avid reader, you like fall in love with these characters in books or in movies, and you care about them to an extent. You're like invested in their life. You're like, I hope they write a second, like a sequel, because I want to know more about like this couple or this person or where are they going with their life. So I get it. Again, you're still gonna be like, well, I still care, even if that person's not real. But just knowing that they're not real can help you separate that from thinking that this is a genuine, real, authentic, awesome, wonderful person that you somehow lost. I hope that makes sense. Okay, I've been rambling for almost 20 minutes, so I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you for hanging out with me today. I know I've been really inconsistent with making content. I'm not really posting much on other platforms. I'm still doing the podcast. I'm not really like making little TikToks or anything anymore. For now, not much. I might be like reposting some stuff that I made in the past if it seems still relevant, just to see if it helps anybody. But For now, I'm just kind of laying low, so I apologize for that. I do appreciate you still hanging out with me here, even if it's just five people. I hope this helps you. That's what I'm here for. So thank you so much. Go do something nice for yourself. Go drink some water. I'll be back next week with more.